Father, in the name of Jesus, we love you and we glorify your name and thank you for the entrance of your word that brings light to us every day and also gives us understanding. As we share the word, let that light shine in our hearts, giving us revelation, knowledge, and understanding of what you are saying to us at this time. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I welcome you. You know, we've heard so much about generational curses. Mm-hmm. So, you know, but I want to talk more about generational blessings. Praise God. Now, people are always talking about generational curses, some things that are passed down, negative evil that's passed down from generation to generation. Well, I love to talk about the positive, good things that are passed down from generation to generation. Hallelujah. And that's what I want to talk about today and perhaps even tomorrow. And then we'll declare the generation of the Lord. Now, we know that first of all, God, you know, is the father of all, the scripture says. And even Adam was called the son of God. If you read Luke chapter 3 and verse 38, we're told that Adam was called the son of God. In that chapter of Luke 3, we see a reverse genealogy for Christ. Jesus himself, you know, began to be about 30 years of old, we are told, being as it was supposed, well, that's as he was supposed, you know, people thought he was the son of Joseph. And then he began to count it backwards. We go through the reverse genealogy backwards until he got to Adam, who was the son of God. He started with Joseph, who was the son of this, that who was the son of that, and this who was the son of that, and so on and so forth. Finally, in verse 38 of Luke 3, he got to Adam, who was the son of God. And we see that God showed us something, taught us a great lesson. Fathers especially, but parents generally, but fathers especially, because we see here in Genesis chapter 1, we see what the Lord did when he got Adam. He said, the scripture says, and God blessed them. That's right. Put a blessing on Adam. And it wasn't just the one man, Adam, that God blessed. As a matter of fact, God blessed everyone that will come in Adam. He said in Genesis chapter 1, you know, we see how the Lord told us what he intended to do in verse 26. And then in verse 27, we're told that he actually created the man in his own image, male and female, created he them. And then God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion. Now, until this time, nobody knew, because there was really nobody other than God. Nobody knew. And what dominion would look like, you know, all we've read now is how he's creating all these things, heaven and earth and all the color, all the things. But there was an attribute in God that he's going to put upon this son. That's right. And he gave him dominion because God himself had dominion. So it's what he, you know, was inside of him. And he blessed the man and the woman because he said he blessed them. And he blessed their generations as well. And he gave them dominion over the fish of the sea, fowl of the air, and over every moving thing that moveth upon the earth. You know, and God gave them also instructions. You know, God gave them, you know, food. He gave them provision. He gave them all these things and so forth. You know, and he also gave them responsibility. You know, so we want to see the things that God did as a father, you know, to Adam. You know, so we also who are fathers, I'm speaking to fathers in this house today, and by extension, mothers, you know, but I'm speaking for fathers in the house today. And if you are in the house, you are a father or a father to be, these are the things that God did. And this is what we must do. Rather than being confused with generational curses, which is what people focus on all the time. Well, the fathers ate sour grapes, and now the children's teeth are set on edge. I mean, this is the way people think. Even in the body of Christ, you'll be surprised. This is what people are constantly saying. You know, now, being someone that understood and was raised from a young age in the deliverance ministry, I know all about that. But I also know, according to Galatians chapter 3 and verses 13 to 14, that we do not need to any longer be under that curse. You know, people are always talking about it. And the Lord himself said, look, we are told that Christ was crucified for us upon the cross, which was a tree. And there is a curse that's put upon everyone that hangs on the tree. And so Christ himself was cursed on our behalf, so that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, and that we might receive the promise of the Spirit, that's right, through faith. Ha! Glory to God. Now, he says, look, any manner of covenant, even if it is made by man, once it is confirmed, cannot be disannulled or added onto. So we can see, therefore, that God also made certain covenants. He made some covenants, you know, that God gave to Abraham. But this covenant, you know, is what I said. This covenant in verse 17 of Galatians 3:7, this covenant was confirmed before even Abraham. God confirmed this covenant in Christ. Hallelujah. Praise God. So the law cannot disannul the covenant which was given 430 years before the law. Now, what does that mean? Well, let's break it down. The covenant blessing came first. You know, the law which was given 430 years later brought a lot of curses. If you don't do this, then curse will be this, curse will be that, curse will be your seed, curse will be your this, curse will be that. You can read all the curses in Deuteronomy chapter 28 from verses 15 to the end. All the curses that are there. But why worry yourself about the curses when you can take the blessings? God put forth the blessings. The same Deuteronomy chapter 28, the first 14 verses, lay out the blessings that will be for us. You know, now, I choose to look for the blessing. The first things out of God's mouth to Adam was a blessing. It wasn't a curse. So why do we always focus on the curse? You know, God blessed them. That was the first thing out of his mouth. Be fruitful and multiply and have dominion and subdue the earth. And he just laid all kinds of blessings upon them. That's what he did. You know, so let's look at it today. Today's lesson is called Generational Blessings from the Fathers to the Children. And I'm going to debunk certain things that people have carried, you know, and allow the devil to use it to hold them back. You know, so, you know, we've heard more, I mean, you've heard more than your share of about generational curses. But have you heard an equal share about generational blessings? That's what I want to talk about today. People, you know, and God said, look, enough of this already. Because every soul will bear their own iniquity. You know, you will no longer say that one soul, you know, I mean, the father does this. I mean, you know, in the olden days, they were told, well, you know, God will visit this, you know, the ills of the father upon the children, you know, to four generations. God said that. I mean, there's no gainsaying that he didn't say it. He said it. And, but that's the one, unfortunately, you know, that's the one that people just latch on to. You know, they forget to look at all the other blessings and how we trace down generational blessings in the Bible. You know, now, because we've heard so much, you know, about the negative side, I will not spend too much time on the negative side today. You know, so, but I'm going to draw our attention to the positive side. You know, we're no longer going to say, oh, the fathers have eaten sour grapes. Let's read that in Jeremiah 39. Let's read from, Jeremiah 31. Let's read from verse 29. You know, this is what people used to say until today. Unfortunately, believers are still saying this, even for themselves. They're still pronouncing this evil on themselves. You know, they say, well, you know, it's all these things in the generations. But here's what the Lord said. He said, look, it shall come to pass. Let me read it from verse 28 of Jeremiah 31. It shall come to pass that as I have watched over them to pluck up, to break down, to throw down, and to destroy, and to afflict, you know, and throughout all their generations, the sins of the father upon the children and their children and their children and their children, even as I have done that to them, even now, saith the Lord, will now watch over them to build them and to plant them up, saith the Lord. So don't be looking at only the throw down, the casting down, the destroying, and the afflicting throughout the generations, you know, every one of those generations. Because the Lord said it himself when he declared, you know, his name before Moses. He said, look, but notice that also in that declaration, the first things that the Lord said about himself was his mercy and his goodness and his, you know, all of the blessings. He put forth the blessings first before he talked about his severity. First, he talked about the goodness. He said, well, the Lord passed before Moses and the Lord declared the name of the Lord. And what did he declare? Well, you can read it in Exodus chapter 34 and verse 5. The Lord descended in the cloud, stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. Well, this was Moses asking the Lord to show him his glory. And when the Lord would show him the glory of the Lord did it by proclaiming his own name. His glory is in his mercy, ladies and gentlemen. So that's what he proclaimed. Moses asked for the glory, and God showed them his mercy and his graciousness. So that's where his glory is at. Glory of the Lord is not in the punishments and all of these things. Well, you would do that because he's a righteous God. But first, keeping mercy for thousands. Let's see how the Lord pronounced it. And the Lord passed by him and proclaimed the name of the Lord. The Lord proclaimed the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands and forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. These were the first things out of his mouth. Look at all the things he pronounced. First, he pronounced his name, the Lord God. Then he pronounced his greatest attributes, mercy and his graciousness, his long-suffering, being abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. He did all of that first, before he even talked about his severity. Now, because he's a righteous God, he got to put show you both sides of the coin. But look, you know, people say put forth your best foot. The Lord put forth his best attributes here first. And then he comes behind that and say, yeah. But the Lord will still not clear the guilty by any means. He will visit the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, upon the children's children to the third and fourth generation. And he said that. And people latch on to that one more than the other. It's very sad. It's very sad. You know, the Lord spent all this time talking about his right, his goodness, his mercy, and forgiving iniquity and all these things and so forth. You know, people don't even talk about that one. They just talk about visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children. Well, yeah, sure. But what about the other? So let's talk about the other. Now, let me go back to Jeremiah 31. Now that we've seen how the Lord pronounced and declared his own goodness, well, let's see how he said. He said, look, you guys have been talking about, you know, these, you know, fathers did something wrong. God visited upon their children forever, you know, many generations. Well, he said, it shall come to pass. Yes, indeed, I did all those things. But in the same way, I'm going to now build you. I'm going to plant you up. I'm going to put a blessing upon you. And in those days, you shall no more say, the fathers have eaten a sour grape, and the children's teeth are now set on edge. Because this is what people always say. What the fathers did a long time ago, the children are now paying for it. Well, God said, well, there's coming a time when I'm going to put away that proverb. Praise the Lord. But everyone shall die for his own iniquity. Every man that eateth sour grapes, his own teeth shall be set on edge, not his children's teeth. Praise God. You know, behold, the days come. You know, in order for the Lord to make this happen, though, God has to change our hearts. You know, make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Well, the covenant I made with their fathers, you know, when I brought them out, they couldn't keep those covenants, you know, and so forth. You know, and they just couldn't do it. So now I'm going to do a new covenant, you know. So seeing that the Lord has done away with the old, why are we still dwelling in the old? Always talking about, oh, you know, the evil that's coming upon people because of the generations of the evil in their lineage. Well, ladies and gentlemen, let me talk about the good that's coming to your offspring because of your righteousness. That's right. You know, so now let's see how the Lord put it out here. You know, the Bible says this, you know, that a godly and goodly heritage. Let's read Psalm 16 and verse 6. I want to read some of these promises, and then I'm going to show you how God passed blessings from generation to generation in the Bible. Forget about the curse. Go, we're no longer under the curse. I already read you that in Galatians chapter 3. But now let's look at what the Bible has to say about the blessings. Psalm 16 and verse 6. You know, here is the way that the psalmist declared it for himself. And, you know, you can declare this for yourself too. I mean, every one of us who's a father was at one time in a son too. And you might even still be a son. Well, not just a son of God, but also, you know, you might still have your earthly father living. And everybody, whether son, daughter, whosoever, you can declare this for yourself. The lines are falling onto me in pleasant places. I don't care about the generational lines before me, whether they were evil, whether they were wicked, but in my time, ha, glory to God, the lines are falling onto me in pleasant places. And I have a goodly heritage. That's right. You know, why don't we just pick the goodly heritage from the Lord? You know, passed down from the Lord through people like Enoch and so forth, like that. You know, why worry about the ones that didn't make it. Well, let's look at the ones that made it. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. You know, so, but, you know, there are some instructions. You know, I know that. And I'm going to cover those instructions, but I'm going to show you that, look, there is more on the good side of the scale, if you want to call it that, than even the negative side, which people focus on all the time. You know, so here's what the Lord actually does say to the fathers, from the fathers to the children, is what this message is about. You know, here is, there's certain responsibilities, just like God did. You know, he set up Adam for good, and he gave him all of the Adam needs, dominion, you know, understanding, you know, the knowledge of God. In fact, when God breathed into Adam in Genesis 2 and 7, that breath that came into him had that total package of the Lord. God, incredible knowledge, incredible understanding, to the point that God just have to step back and say, Adam, you got this. What are you going to call this one? Whatever Adam said, that's it. And God said, cool. Next one, whatever Adam said, everything. I mean, God just blessed him, had so much confidence in Adam. Of course, he had to test him, though. You know, unfortunately, Adam failed the test, you know. But the Lord blessed him with so much blessing, you know. And so, but he also gave him responsibility. That was the part of the test. There's always responsibility. You have to instruct your children. Adam was instructed by God, you know. So, here is the instruction. Well, of all the trees that are in the garden, you may freely eat, but this one over here, stay away from it. You know, so now the Lord said to us also in Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 18 to 21. Therefore, ye shall lay these my words in your heart and in your soul first, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets, as glasses between your eyes. And then, in turn, you shall teach them to your children, speaking of them also when you sit in the house, when you walk in the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. You write them upon the doorposts of your house and upon your gates, that your days may be multiplied, and the days of your children in the land which the Lord thy God swore unto your fathers to give them, even as the days of heaven upon the earth. And you will do all of these things, and the Lord will bless you. You will keep his commandments, and then the Lord will bless you, you know, and so forth. You know, now, of course, there's always the negative side. If you don't keep the commandments, then the judgment of the Lord will be upon you. But, you know, that's for the incorrigible. That's not for us. You know, we are the chosen of the Lord. We are the ones that keep the commandments of the Lord. Even if we go wrong, the Lord corrects us, as we, you know, we dealt with this in the room yesterday. But then, you know, we are his children. Praise God. You know, we got a goodly heritage. Now, let me tell you also this, that, you know, there are many examples of the fathers to the children in the scriptures. In fact, all this business about covenant that God was, there are many covenants in the Bible. I'm not going to go into that today, but this Abrahamic covenant, this blessing that God put upon Abraham and his seed, he passed it on from person to person and generation to generation. Well, let's take a look at it. You know, how God passed it, not only from Abraham, but to Isaac, you know, but then to Jacob, you know. So let's take a look at it. Now, the key, well, I'm going to tell you the key in a minute, but let's look at Genesis chapter 17, you know, and there is a lot of things that God had in his mind for Abraham, you know. Similar to the things that he had in mind, some things he had in mind for Adam. You know, he had some things in mind for Abraham and his seed and so forth. And God promised many things. And here's something that he promised to Abraham in Genesis 17. As for me, he said to Abraham, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. You've heard me talk about that many times. This is where he told him. You know, so he also told him, well, we're not going to call your name Abraham anymore. We're going to change it to Abraham, which means father of peoples or nations. Father of many nations I have made thee. And I will make thee exceeding fruitful. And I will make nations of you, and kings shall come out of you. Now, listen to this. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee. But he didn't stop there. See, and this is the generational blessing. This is the what was in the mind of God. I will establish my covenant between me and you. Well, that one is there. And then your seed after thee in their generations. For an everlasting covenant. Hallelujah. To be unto you a God and also to your seed. Now, this is generational blessings, ladies and gentlemen. You know, and this throws the generational curses. It's like, you know, hit the thing right out of the park. You just blow the thing away. Because God said, look, I'm going to put this covenant upon you and upon your seed. I'll be a blessing to you. I'll be a father to you. I'll be a God to you. And I'll be a God to your seed. God said it. Hallelujah. You know, and he also told him all the other physical blessings as well, the land and all of these things, you know. But he also told to Abraham, you know, in verse 9, he said, look, thou shalt keep my covenant. See, you keep it and thy seed after thee in their generations. You know, God gave him a sign of the covenant in his circumcision, but I'm not going to that one. But what God is setting, you know, the stage here is telling him that, look, this blessing, this covenant, that I will be your God and I'll be a blessing to you and so forth, is not going to be for you only. It's going to be for you, for your seed and their seed after them in their generations. Plural. So down through the line. Hallelujah. But there was also a responsibility that was laid upon Abraham. He said, look, you will keep this covenant and you will make sure, you know, these are always instructions from the father to the children. You will make sure that your children also keep my covenant. Well, praise the Lord. Well, that's what he said to Abraham. Well, let's turn around and see, what about Isaac? Did God say anything to Isaac? I mean, of course, you may know the story about Isaac. Isaac was the promised child. You know, wasn't exactly Ishmael. And it wasn't anything else. It wasn't, you know, Eliezer or anybody, any children that came by, all those people in his household. No, it was the child coming through Sarah. His name was called Isaac. But God was even speaking about Christ beyond even Isaac. We see that later on, you know, in the writings of Paul. But let's just concentrate on this for a minute. Excuse me. In Genesis chapter 26, let's take a look at what God will say. We've seen what he said to Abraham, right? Well, let's see what he will say to Isaac. You know, so there was a famine in the land beside the first famine that was first in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went to Abimelech, king of Philistines, unto Gerar. And the Lord appeared unto him, that's Isaac, and said, go not down unto Egypt, but dwell in the land that I shall tell you of. Now, that's almost similar to what he told Abraham. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with you, and I will bless thee. For unto thee and unto thy seed will I give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father. And I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven. I will give you all these countries and so on and so forth, you know. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. We found out that later that was Christ in thy seed. Paul would explain this in Galatians. In thy seed, not seeds, plural. You know, we'll talk about that, you know. And why did God do all of this? Well, let's read it. This is the secret of why God did it. Genesis chapter 26 and verse 5. This is the secret. Because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge and kept my commandments. That's the reason I'm passing that blessing not only from Abraham to you guys. Ladies and gentlemen, these are in the scriptures. You know, because of the blessing, because of the obedience of Abraham, God, you know, transferred the blessing to his seed. Of course, God already knew. He said, look, I know Abraham, that he would command his children after me. God knew that. You know, now, what is God's testimony of you? Does God know you? Can God say, I know this man, that he will command his children after me? That's what God said about Abraham. Can he say that about you who are fathers? Or if you are mothers also, can he say about you? Can he say that? Well, God did say that, you know, about Abraham. And he was confident, you know, he said it. Genesis chapter 18 and verse 19. I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they will keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment. Now, that's the responsibility of the father. You must do that. Raise your children with gravity, raise them in the fear of the Lord, command them, teaching them in the way and putting instructions in there. You know, you got to do that. But if you are faithful and you obey the voice of the Lord on your own, now the children have their own responsibilities. God doesn't have any grandchildren. Everybody must be a direct relationship with God. But God has this thing called generational blessings. Now, the children themselves will have their own responsibility. You know, the blessing will pass on to them, but I'm going to show you how they must keep it. You know, but when, because of your righteousness, because of your obedience, because of your keeping God's charge, God will transfer the blessing onto your children. Now, well, there's be some responsibility on the children to hold those blessings, but we'll get there. Now, we see how God transferred it. He said, because of Abraham, I'm doing this for you. Praise the Lord. Now, I hope everybody catches that, because that's the secret in this lesson that I am giving today. It was because of Abraham. That's why I'm doing this. That's what he said. So we've seen Abraham. We've seen Isaac. Well, now, what about Jacob? Well, let's take a look at Jacob. In the book of Genesis, chapter 28, let's look at what God said to Jacob from verses 10 to about 15. Now, Jacob went out from Beersheba and went to Haran. And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night. And because his sun was set, so he took the stones of that place, put for his pillow, and he lay down to sleep. And he dreamed a dream. And behold, there was a ladder set on the earth. And the top reached down to heaven, up to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending, descending upon it. And behold, the Lord stood above it. He saw this in the dream. And the Lord said to him, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. You know, you can see how God is tracing it down. In fact, God was calling Abraham his father. Now, Abraham was actually his grandfather. But see, God doesn't use the language grand. He just called him father. Abraham was your father. In fact, generations of David, he will be still talking to Hezekiah that David, your father, even though David was great, 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 you know. So that's how God was doing it. You know, he said, look, the God of Abraham, your father, the God of Isaac, Isaac was actually his direct father. The land whereupon thou liest, will I give it to you and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth. This is the same things that God has been saying to Abraham, to Isaac, and now saying it to Jacob. And thou shalt spread abroad to the west, to the east, to the north, to the south. And in thee, you know, all the families of the earth be blessed. He said that to Isaac. I'm saying it again to Jacob. Praise the Lord. Now behold, I am with thee, and I will keep thee in all the places that thou goest, and so forth. So you can see, from the fathers to the children. From Abraham, first from God to Adam. Adam lost it. So, well, okay, God picked Abraham. You know, from Abraham to Jacob, I mean Isaac, from Isaac to Jacob. There's a lot of things that God did in the Bible, you know, and, you know, passed on some blessings from what, because of the father, the righteousness of the father to the children. Look at Noah, for instance. When it was time, you know, for the Lord, you know, I mean, when the Lord had it up to here with the wickedness of the people, and the Lord said, look, it's time, you know, I'm going to destroy this place. But he found Noah, you know, it was Noah that God found. It wasn't his family. It was Noah that walked with God and had, you know, a relationship with God, you know. But, in you know, we can look at Genesis chapter 6 and verse 9. We're told that Noah had a, I mean, this was a record that was given of Noah, that he had an, you know, this testimony. Look at it. Genesis chapter 6, verse 9. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God. Just like Enoch, he walked with God. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and all these things. And all the earth was corrupt and so forth. Now, when the Lord was telling Noah that all the end of the flesh is coming before me, and I'm going to destroy the earth, you know, out of all of that, God would save not only Noah, but his household. Praise God. He said to him, but with thee will I establish my covenant. Genesis chapter 6 verse 18. And thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons. Now, all of this was because of Noah. It wasn't because of his sons. Thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. All of yours because of you. Hallelujah. So that's my lesson today. God picked Noah, and because of picking Noah, transferred the blessings to all of Noah's, his sons, his wife, his sons' wives, all of them, you know, because of God having, you know, I mean, because of Noah having this relationship with God, the blessing passed on to his seed after him. Well, what about even Lot? I'm not going to go into the story of Lot. I'll just paraphrase it. When God would destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, you know, God had mercy upon Lot and tried to bring him out of there with his family. Even the angel told him, look, I cannot destroy this place until you and your family get out of here. Thou shalt be saved and thy household. You know, and the angel of the Lord, God having mercy on him, even when they dragged their feet, he got them out of there by hand and pulled them out. Say, hurry, get out of this place. Because the clock is ticking. I got to do this thing, but I got to wait for you and your household to get out of here first. Hallelujah. You know, that's how God was taking the blessings of obedience or of his favor on one person and put it on another person who is in their lineage, their children after them. Now, let's look at what was this obedience that God was actually talking about, you know, concerning Abraham. You know, I mean, let's read something in Genesis chapter 18. You know, let's read what the Lord said about Abraham. I've told you this, but I want to read three verses. I only read one verse. The Lord said, shall I hide, this is verses 17 to 19, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I shall do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and the nations of the earth shall be blessing him? For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him. They shall keep the way of the Lord. They shall do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which the Lord has spoken of him. Well, in order for the thing which the Lord has spoken of us to pass on to us and our children, we must do like Abraham did. We must not only keep the charge of the Lord, but also command our household after us. Praise the Lord. Well, let's skip forward to David. How did God do in the life of David? You know, and what did God actually say? How do we see any generational trace of blessings in David? You know, and let's read some things that God said here. In the book of 2 Samuel, let's read from chapter 7, and I will just read from verse 12 or so. Now, praise God. The Lord said, when thy days shall be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, and he's talking to David here, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. Hallelujah. Now, this is God speaking to David. God wasn't speaking to Solomon, but God was speaking to David. And because of David, God had a plan that he was going to bless Solomon, and even beyond Solomon. And God said, look, you won't build this house, but your son will do all these things. But I will establish his kingdom, you know, to the seed that shall proceed out of thy bowels. He will be the one that will build an house for my name. And I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. And if he commit iniquity, and God already knew that Solomon was going to do that, that's why he put it out here. If he commit iniquity, well, I will chasten him with the rod of men and the stripes of women, but my mercy shall not depart away from him. It won't be like Saul, whom I put away, but, you know, in his own case, your house and your kingdom shall be established forever. Thy throne shall be established forever. You know, and I'm going to put a blessing upon your son because of you. It's basically what God is saying here. My goodness. And the Lord said many other things to him. Now, God established the throne of David forever, you know, and even said, look, God will, there will not fail, you know, a son of David to sit upon his throne. Jesus himself. The son of David. And finally, because of all these promises that God made, carried down even through Christ, and Christ eventually would sit on the throne of David, his father. That's what Isaiah chapter 9 tells us in verses 6 and 7. He tells us that unto us, you know, a child is born, and unto us, a son is given, and the government shall be on his shoulder. We know it's Christ he's talking about. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. But what shall he do? Well, the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. And upon the throne of David, and upon his kingdom, David's kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice, henceforth, you know, he was set upon the throne of David. It was a blessing that God found David. And, you know, people always think only negative things. I don't know why. You know, most people, if they remember David, all they remember about him is, you know, what he did with Bathsheba and Uriah. You know, but that's something that's forgiven. He was punished for it and is forgotten. And God's not even talking about it anymore. God's talking about, you know, I've chosen your throne to set upon forever. Well, there were a lot of other righteousness found in him, and God chose him. His heart was after God. God chose him and put a blessing upon him and upon his children, you know. And so 2 Samuel chapter 7 verses 12 to 16 is what we read. Now that was God speaking to David. Well, what did God speak to Solomon? Well, let's read 1 Kings chapter 9. In the book of 1 Kings chapter 9, I'll pick it up from the story from about verse 4. You know, and this is God now speaking to Solomon. If I read it from verse 2. Lord appeared to Solomon the second time. Even as he appeared to him in Gibeon at the first time. And the Lord said unto him, I've heard thy prayer and thy supplication which thou hast made before me. And I've hallowed this house. Now that's what's after, you know, Solomon built the house. Can read that amazing prayer of dedication in chapter 8. You know, 1 Kings. You know, and he said, look, I've hallowed this house which thou hast built to put my name there forever. My eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually. Now, if thou wilt walk before me as David, thy father, walked, in integrity of his heart and his uprightness, to do all that I command thee, to keep your my statutes and judgments, then I will establish the throne of thy kingdom. Now listen to this. Establish the throne of thy kingdom upon Israel forever, as I promised David. That's right. That shall not fail there a man to sit upon the throne of Israel. Now, so you see how God took the blessing, passed it from David. He promised David something down through the line because of finding something in David. Hallelujah. Now, let's read some generic promises that God said for us and for our children. There are some things, some blessings that pass on to our children because of us. Praise the Lord. In Proverbs chapter 11, you know, now I can do a whole chapter. I can do a whole lesson on this, and maybe I will, but I'll just read one or two here today. In Proverbs chapter 11, verse 21. Now, though hand join in hand, the wicked shall not be unpunished. We know that. God said, I will nowhere spare the guilty. But what about the seed of the righteous? What will happen to them? Well, but the seed of the righteous shall be delivered. You know, the seed of the righteous, the emphasis here is they are the seed of the righteous. They are being delivered because they are the seed of the righteous. They're not just being delivered because of their own righteousness. It is the righteousness of their father that is causing them to be delivered. Now, so let's take note of that. Praise the Lord. Now, Psalm 112, you know, let's read verses 1 and 2. I'm just picking out one or two blessings upon children because of the status or status of their father and their relationship of their father or fathers with the Lord. Psalm 112, verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. Now that's the man, you know, and he's blessed. But what about his seed? His seed shall be mighty upon the earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Not just the upright, but his generation after him. Now these are called generational blessings. Praise the Lord. Now what about Psalm 128, verses 1 through about 4? You know, just picking out a few verses here that highlight this viewpoint. You know, and then there's a few things I will say at the end. Psalm 128. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. Well, he shall eat the labor of his hands, and happy he shall be, and it shall be well with him. Well, his wife. That's right. Now, this is a blessing for someone that fears the Lord. This blessing is already coming upon his wife. Yeah, let alone his children. Thy wife, because you fear the Lord, shall be a fruitful vine by your side. You know, your children also like olive plants around your table. That's right. Blessed, you know, behold, that does shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. A blessing will pass on to his wife. A blessing will pass to his children. Now, these things are important. The blessing is conferred automatically. Ladies and gentlemen, let me restate that categorically. The blessing is conferred automatically to their children because of the righteousness of their father. However, I put a disclaimer on that. For the blessing to remain, now remember, it's conferred automatically. But for the blessing to remain, the children must themselves walk in the ways of God. Now, there are many lessons in the life of Solomon. Solomon got some tremendous favor because of David. You know, and the Lord loved Solomon because he loved David. Now, Solomon, did Solomon walk in all the ways of David, his father? Well, absolutely not. He started out, you know, but he didn't follow through. But nevertheless, you know, the Lord did not completely destroy everything because of his oath to David. Now, 1 Kings chapter 11. In fact, if you read the story of 1 Kings chapter 11, first 13 verses or so, you can see all the craziness of this Solomon. And he was a wild man. He did not follow the ways of David. You know, he had many strange women. A lot of strange women, which God told them, don't go after this because they will turn your heart against God. You go after their gods. Well, Solomon didn't listen. Did all this crazy stuff. And then it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods. I read that in verse 4 of this 1 Kings 11. You know, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God as was the heart of David his father. And Solomon went abhorring after all kinds of things. And Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord. I went not fully after the Lord as did David his father. And so on and so forth. You know. And the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned away from the Lord God of Israel, which had appeared unto him 2 times. And the Lord commanded him concerning this thing that he should not go after other gods, but he kept not the charge of the Lord. Wherefore the Lord said unto Solomon, take note of this, for as much as this is done of thee, and thou hast not kept my covenant and my statutes, which I commanded thee. See, the blessing passed unto him from his father automatically because of the righteousness of David. But now the responsibility is smack down upon Solomon. Solomon messed up big time. So the Lord's going to come down on him with a big hammer. But listen to this. You know, the Lord said unto him, for as much as this is done of thee, and thou hast not kept my covenant and my statutes, which I commanded thee, I will surely rent the kingdom from thee, and I will give it to thy servant. You know, that's what he said. But nevertheless, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Nevertheless, in thy days will I not do it for David, thy father's sake. You see, God is still remembering what God said to David. Ladies and gentlemen, this is my lesson today of the generational blessings from the fathers to the children. Now, I being a father, I know my children are blessed. They are so blessed because I'm a child of God. I have the blessing of God upon me. And this thing transfer unto them automatically. And I put a blessing on them many times when I pray for them. But they have a responsibility on their own to walk the ways of the Lord as their father did or is doing. Now, you better walk the ways of the Lord so that the blessing will remain. Now, the blessing is upon you automatically. You know, so at least one of my kids is right here listening. The blessing is upon you automatically. However, you have a responsibility on your own. So this is the lesson that I am talking about today. I'm not saying that, look, God has grandchildren. No, God doesn't have any grandchildren. You have to be a child of God directly. But there are some benefits, there are some blessings that pass from, just like people talk about these curses. You know, I don't even want to talk about that. I want to talk about the blessings that pass from the fathers to the children. I'm going to talk more about this. It's going to take me more than one day to cover this series because it's so vital. Just because people focus too much on the negative. And I got to come down with this and let us know that, look, there's something that God put in the generational blessings. You know, say, notwithstanding, I will not do it. You know, I will not do it in your days because of David, your father's sake, but I will extend it. Howbeit, I will not rend away all the kingdom, but I will give one tribe to thy son for David, my servant's sake. I mean, God is always referring back to David. Now, what's his name? Solomon. He's already lost it. He has lost the favor. He's lost it at this point because he has followed evil devices in his heart. His heart has gone after other gods. He's done all this crazy stuff. And God's putting the hammer down on him. But God is still remembering David. Hallelujah. Praise God. You talk about generational blessing. Now, Solomon is going to pay for it. You know, everybody will bear their own sins. But, you know, the mercy of God, it's called the sure mercies of David. That's what it's called about. And I will, before this series is over, I'll talk about that. You know, the sure mercies of David, you know, how it's been passing from generation to generation. Praise God. We are still enjoying till this day the sure mercies of David. Praise the Lord. I'm still enjoying it, you know. And so that's what I want us to consider today. Now, before we go off, always talking about generational curse, be careful now. Because a child of God should no longer be under that. You know, now we as children of God, we may have come from a lineage of evildoers, idol worshippers, haters of the gospel, or even haters of the cross, haters of God, or whatever. They may have done wickedly in their times and so forth, you know. And then the devil will tell you that you're going to now inherit all of their punishment. Absolutely not. Christ inherited that on your behalf. Galatians 3, 13 and 14 told us that all of that was laid upon the Christ. Now, so that the blessing of Abraham and the good side, blessing of Abraham, the sure mercies of David and all this other stuff will transfer onto us. And away with all those generational curses. Now, search your hearts today. If you've allowed yourself to be drawn into that stream of, oh, generational curses, oh, something in my background, oh, some people even have, you know, these things. I remember even, you know, people telling me that, oh, there's some things in your lineage. And this and that. I'm like, what's that? That doesn't concern me. Praise God. I remember when I was a young man growing up, people were telling me that even before I knew the Lord for real, there was this something in me that never accepted that nonsense. You know, let alone when I now understood the Lord, like I just threw those things away, you know. That might have been then, but this is now after the cross. For I am identified with Christ on the cross. You know, and instead of the curse, a blessing came. That's what Christ did. He absorbed the curse. You know, he broke that curse. He broke it. You know, the curse that would have passed from generation to generation to generation to generation, Jesus broke it. Hallelujah. Now, it's still upon some because they are not in Christ. They are not identified or crucified in Christ or with Christ. So, but for you, if you have come to Christ, you know, get away from all that stuff. You know, you are now new in Christ. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. The generation of the fathers that ate, the proverb of the fathers that ate sour grapes and caused the children's teeth to be set on edge is passed away, saith the Lord. That's it. Gone in Christ. Christ did away with that stuff. Now, if you don't believe or receive that, well, that's up to you. You can choose, Moses said it all the time. Choose you this day which you will have. I put these blessings in front of you and I put these curses. Which one will you choose? But that was before the cross even. It was before the cross. You will notice that in Deuteronomy chapter 28, there were even more curses than blessings. This is why people always focus on curses. But I don't choose. I hardly ever read all those, verses 15 through the end of Deuteronomy 28. I read it because it's part of the word of God, but I don't focus on it. I focus on the first 14 or so, or first 12 or 14 verses or so of that Deuteronomy 28, which is where all the blessings are. Then he turns around and say, look, but if you go aside from any of these words, and if you do not hearken unto them, well, why should I go aside? Why should I not hearken? I will hearken. And then he began to say, curse will this. And you will notice that, the curses were even longer, all from verse 15, all the way, the curses, and so on, all the way to verses 60 something, tons of stuff. And so people just focus on that. Well, I choose not to focus on that. I choose to focus on the first 12 or 13 verses that say, blessed will I be in the city. Blessed will I be when I go out. I will be above. I will not be beneath. I will be this and I will be that. The Lord will open to me his good treasure. And so on and so forth. I choose to take these blessings. He said, these blessings shall come upon thee and overtake thee. That's what I choose. If thou shalt hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God. And I do hearken to the voice of the Lord my God. And where I fail, I say, help thou me, Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. But I'm not in the camp of the curse. Neither should you be. Neither should your children be. Some people say their marriages are cursed. Because, this happened in the family before. And it happened in this before. And therefore it happened in your family. No. That stopped in Christ. Don't even fall for that stuff. God had taken and put all, this is the amazing thing. This is why we love the Lord. If you don't know it, this is why we love the Lord. And this is why you should love the Lord. Because Jesus took all these things. It wasn't just the infirmities. It wasn't just our sicknesses that he took. He took away the curses as well. Were laid upon him. The chastisement of our peace, that we no longer be cursed, was laid upon Christ. And he took it. And so if he did, why should I, inherit that anymore? No, why should my children inherit it? So, this is our lesson today. A lesson called generational blessings. A spiritual heritage from the fathers to their children. Now, I'll be talking more about bridging the generational gap and also declaring the generation of the Lord. It might take me 3 days to cover this series, but this is part one. Next, by the grace of God, maybe I'll cover how to bridge the generational gap. The younger generation are going this way. The older generation are going that way. Sometimes it's as if we serve two different gods. I'll be talking about that next time. And then at the end of it, I will talk about the generation of the Lord. How God is uniting together in one, his generation. All right. Well, that's it, ladies and gentlemen. That is our lesson today. I want to say a quick prayer before I release it for reactions and comments. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I come against all the voices of lies, the tokens of the liars. I've been telling the people of God that they are cursed because their father was cursed, because the generation above them or before them was cursed. I come against those negative voices in the name of the Lord Jesus and obliterate them. Hallelujah. The Bible says that the Lord is the one that makes void the tokens of the liars. You know, frustrate them. So I frustrate in the name of the Lord all the tokens of lies that told the people of God that they are under any curse because of what somebody did that they didn't know anything about. Even generations ago. We thank you, Lord, for the blood of Jesus that wiped away all of that from our lives. Now, the lines are falling onto us in pleasant places. And we have a goodly heritage, a spiritual heritage from the Lord. And if you, even if you can't find a spiritual father in your lineage that believe the Lord, what about Christ? Hallelujah. Praise God. Because in Christ shall all the nations of the world and all the kingdoms and all the peoples, all the, you know, everything be blessed. That seed is indeed Christ. And if we are Christ's, hallelujah, then we inherit the sure mercies of David. Praise the Lord. So, Father, we thank you for your children today. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We will no longer walk in under bondage. We will no longer, you know, walk in fear of all these negative things that have been said before our time. We will now have the truth. Jesus said, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." Ladies and gentlemen, it is the truth that you know that can set you free. And this is the truth today, that you may know, excuse me, the truth, and that the truth might set you free. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, we love you, Lord. We thank you for the people that are blessed here today. Even as God said, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 16. Not to seeds as to many, but as to one, thy seed, who is Christ. So even if you can't find someone in your lineage to latch onto that was righteous, or latch onto Christ, because you are Christ's seed. Hallelujah. And the blessing of Christ will also come upon you in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.